This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 25th of August 2010 here in Japan, and I am talking to Richard Gage, AIA, a San Francisco Bay Area architect and a member of the American Institute of Architects. He is the founding member of AE 911 Truth. He has been a practicing architect for over 20 years and has worked on most types of building construction, including numerous fireproofed steel frame buildings. Most recently, he worked on the construction documents for a $400 million mixed-use urban project with 1.2 million square feet of retail parking structure and 320,000 square feet of mid-rise office space with altogether about 1,200 tons of steel framing. Mr. Gage became interested in researching the destruction of the WTC high-rises after hearing the startling conclusions of a reluctant 9/11 researcher, David Ray Griffin, on the radio in 2006, which launched his own unyielding quest for the truth about 9/11. Mr. Gage, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today on the Corbett Report.
You're welcome, James. Glad to be here with you.
All right. Well, Richard Gage, I know that the vast majority of my audience needs no introduction to yourself and your work, but in the interest of getting everything on the record, let's start by hearing about the goals and the mission and the history of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Well, we have 1,260 now architects and engineers demanding a new investigation of the destruction of the World Trade Center Twin Towers and Building 7 on 9/11. We are demanding an unimpeachable investigation, one with subpoena power, one where immunity is granted and witnesses forward. We have not seen all of the evidence in the NIST report, the FEMA report, the 9/11 Commission report, and this evidence is deeply disturbing. It is clear evidence that these three skyscrapers were destroyed with controlled demolition, explosive controlled demolition, and hopefully we'll be talking about some of that evidence today. So our mission, again, is to get a new investigation, mostly to wake up the American people, because something dark has happened in higher circles of our government and industry, and we've got to get to the bottom of it.
That's quite true, and of course you bring up the explosive evidence that you have been so painstakingly documenting over the past few years. Perhaps we can run through some of the signs of explosive demolition at the World Trade Center 1 and 2.
Yes, the architects and engineers that I represent, which is about 25,000 years of collective experience, appoints to a number of key characteristic features that anybody can see and has seen in the Twin Towers. The behavior of their destruction is extremely explosive. It looks almost like a volcano. After the first 4 seconds, where we have this mini controlled demolition, if you will, and the upper 15 stories in the case of the North Tower, for instance, telescoping down on itself in the first 4 seconds, that is not available as a pile driver then to crush the rest of the building. It has been disintegrated. After that, we have the building tearing itself apart. All this happens in about a dozen seconds, which is shy of free fall by a short amount. In other words, it's going straight down through the path of greatest resistance, what should have been the greatest resistance, at two-thirds of free-fall acceleration, and it's going down symmetrically, and there are explosions going off 20, 40, 60 stories down below this so-called crush zone. There are missing floors, about 110 of them in each of these buildings are completely missing. Very few macroscopic chunks of concrete found at the base of either tower, and there's pulverized concrete in midair. 90,000 tons of concrete is being pulverized right in the air and drifting over all of lower Manhattan in blankets 4 to 12 inches thick, 100 micron particles of concrete. In this dust, scientists have found the nanoparticles. Have found curious red-gray chips, which turn out to be very energetic pyrotechnic or explosive materials. What's included in these are elements of iron, particles of iron oxide and aluminum powder that are 1,000 times smaller than the human hair, very intimately mixed in the perfect proportion to make up thermite. The thermite at this level, engineered correctly, according to Lawrence Livermore Lab, can be very explosive. This has been documented in a peer-reviewed paper, 25 pages, and it remains uncontested today. When they put these small red-gray chips in a heater, they tend to blow up, ignite at about 420 degrees centigrade. When they do, they produce these thousands of these small, tiny spheres. Well, these are the same spheres that U.S. official sources from the USGS and other environmental firms like R.J. Lee find ubiquitous in all of the World Trade Center dust. Billions of these iron microspheres given that they're previously molten, they sustain temperatures of over 2,800 degrees. The fires and jet fuel can't produce those temperatures. So we have evidence of thermitic responses, which is basically evidence of incendiaries all through the dust. Yet this was not tested for by NIST and others, and they refuse to test for it even after it's been found by this international team of scientists to be the unignited chips. So this, in addition to the ejection laterally and symmetrically of all these perimeter wall units at 70 miles an hour, instant exiting speed out of the side of the Twin Towers, landing 600 feet away. This is all evidence of explosive controlled demolition, especially since we have 118 first responders that hear the sounds of explosions. They see the flashes of light emitted from the Twin Towers at the onset of destruction. These are all in the oral recordings. So we have an unnatural, symmetrical debris, upward, outward arching streamers of pyroclastic-like clouds, clouds of smoke. When we show this to our architects, engineers, and others in the 150 or so presentations we've done around the world in 30 American states and 17 foreign countries, 80 to 90% of them get it, according to a show of hands, and they end up agreeing with us. That is to say, the skeptics who before did not agree, most all of them agree with us afterwards. So it takes courage to come and look at this evidence. But once people do, they can't ignore the truth about it, especially about the third skyscraper that collapsed on that day, Building 7, which begins in the afternoon, even though it wasn't hit by an airplane and was about a football field in length away from the Twin Towers and sustained a little bit of damage and from the North Tower debris and had some isolated pockets of fires that weren't very large, according to the photos and videos. This building goes straight down, uniformly, symmetrically, in an implosion compared to the explosive event that the Twin Towers were, and in just 6.5 seconds. Now, NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, acknowledges that this was a free-fall collapse. In other words, it fell as fast as a bowling ball falling off the side of the building for 100 feet, and then it slowed down only slightly. The whole building is destroyed in 6.5 seconds. We're told beforehand that there's an internal failure that takes up to 15 more seconds. Regardless, the shell of this building cannot fall at free fall acceleration against all those perimeter columns without slowing down somewhat, and it doesn't. So this is proof in and of itself of explosive controlled demolition. Yet in the debris of Building 7 and the Twin Towers, first responders and structural engineers find pools of molten steel, they called it. Turned out to be molten iron by tests done by physicist Dr. Stephen Jones. Molten iron with the chemical evidence in it of aluminum manganese. These are indicative of thermite as well. In fact, FEMA Appendix C documents melting of steel as it turned into Swiss cheese, they called it. Intergranular melting, rapid oxidation, sulfidation, evaporation of the ends of these beams. So this is direct evidence of thermite as well, documented by official sources. So, which is, by the way, this appendix is eliminated from the report when NIST took over the report. So there's very clear evidence of a cover-up as well of all of this evidence. So we're calling for an investigation not only of the Twin Towers, but of NIST themselves, Shyam Sunder and John Gross, its lead investigators. So this is what most concerns the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth.
That's right, and just going back over that last point, that was specifically referring to Appendix B from the FEMA report on the building collapse?
This is Appendix C of the FEMA report that came out in May of 2002. It's called the Building Performance Assessment Team Report.
That's right, okay. Well, you mentioned the power of the AE 9/11 Truth presentation, and I can speak to that personally, having witnessed it in Kobe, Japan last year, and it is a very effective presentation, I would say. So suffice it to say that AE911truth.org has been one of the most respected 9/11 Truth websites since its inception, and your organization remains an essential one for those who are interested in the collapse of the three buildings on 9/11. But I think, as with any organization, after the initial surge in interest, where it becomes there's a point where it becomes increasingly difficult to reach out to new people on these issues. So today I want to talk about a rather innovative campaign that you launched recently, an email campaign to deliver 6 action alerts in 6 days to supporters of AE 9/11 Truth. And perhaps you could tell us about these action alerts and the types of things your organization has been doing to help promote awareness of these issues.
Yes, we're going to Washington, D.C. Once again. We were there last year. We met with 20 different offices of Congress members and senators, including one Congress member himself. Our constituents came to Washington, D.C. We gave the presentation. So we're asking anybody who this year, there's a number of initiatives here in D.C. that we're going to be working with. This is the main one. We're asking anybody who can make an appointment on September 7th or September 8th, when we'll be there, with their congressional representative or senator, we will come and give the presentation. What we're trying to do is develop relationships with the science advisors for these congresspersons. And this is a longer-term goal. We realize that we're in this for the long term. And if we do have a presentation with a staffer, we want to be elevated to the science advisor. We have met with some science advisors, and each, in one in particular, is in complete agreement with us that Building 7 is a controlled demolition. This is a huge problem, and has been working on his congressperson, who's his boss. And we're trying to develop the relationship so that when the time comes, there is more political support for these congressmen so that they're not just sticking their necks out calling for a new 9/11 investigation. They've got to have the support or it's suicide for them politically. So perhaps otherwise too, in a sense. So that's one of the things we're going to be doing. September 7th and 8th, appointments with congressional members. On September 9th, we have a major press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. This will be modeled after our San Francisco press conference that we had on February 19th, in which we announced that we have 1,000 architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. This is a story that has to be dealt with by the mainstream media. We have the findings of nanothermitic composite explosive or pyrotechnics found throughout the World Trade Center dust. that is a story that has to be dealt with by the mainstream media. And there's a number of other related stories that we'll be coming out with and sharing as well. So that's the press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. That will be immediately followed by a mock debate in which we will be taking answers from people who have not been willing to come and debate us, but they will be there, represented, their images, and we will answer their questions that we believe that they have for us. More importantly, we will be asking of them questions that they and why they are not there to answer them, questions that emanate from the works that they have published and the words that they have stated publicly that make no sense in support of the official story. People like James Miggs from Popular Mechanics and his sidekick, and also Sean Thunder and John Gross from NIST will be represented by proxy, and we'll also have Michael Shermer from Skeptics Magazine, Dave Thomas, who refused to be there, from New Mexico, NMSR, New Mexicans for Science and Research, I think it is. We debated Dave Thomas on Saturday night for 4 hours, and I encourage your viewers and listeners to tune in and see how a physicist can try to defend the free fall collapse of a major skyscraper without the use of explosives. I don't think that he did very well. He's obviously lying through his teeth, and I think we exposed that relative also to the molten metal found and the iron microspheres and the nanothermitic composites, as well as the collapse of the Twin Towers. We pointed out in each case in that debate, I felt, why the official story makes no sense, and I don't think that it was defended very well at all. But I encourage your listeners to look at that. Go to 911blogger.com, and you'll see the Coast to Coast AM radio debate. 3 million listeners were there. Anyway, we'll have this mock debate immediately following the 1 o'clock press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., again, in a different kind of a unique and informative and hopefully entertaining as well format. And we anticipate having the press there for that as well. Then we go up, in addition to that, at that press conference, we want to have supporters from around the world concurrently giving the same press conference, that is to say, reading the five-minute press release in front of their congressmen and representatives around the world on September 9th. So we're asking each of your listeners who support us to email us at congressionaloutreachteam@ae911truth.org. congressionaloutreachteam@ae911truth.org, and let us know that you want to participate by having a five-minute press conference outside the representative's office on public property. Hopefully we'll have a AE911 Truth banner behind you or in front of you to give some recognition, and we do hope that there will be 100 around the world. We had 49 around the world last February. Okay. The next action alert after that requests the same group of people to go and make an appointment with your congressional rep during September or early October when they're on break home campaigning for your vote. And we want you to go in there, make an appointment with their science advisor if possible, or them would be great if you can get to them. A staffer, okay, we can elevate up the ladder after you convince the staffer that there's a serious issue here relative to national security. We want you to show the 10-minute Blueprint for Truth presentation about Building 7.
where we're educating our congressional reps about Building 7 in particular. And, of course, that DVD is available on our website. You can download it. You can probably easier to, and necessary perhaps to purchase at least the enveloped version of the DVD so that's easy to play. So that's educating congressmen all across the country. Make an appointment, take it in, play it, introduce yourself, introduce the 25,000 years of structural and building and technical experience that these 1,260 architects and engineers have collectively, and let us know how it goes. There's another action alert, James. It's the initiative to get the 60-minute Blueprint for Truth, Architecture of Destruction, on every public access station across the country. This will enable, if we succeed, 700 stations, even if only 100 people watch each showing, and that's easy to do, we could have 70,000 people being exposed to 9/11 truth each month. So that's our goal, and we can't do it unless everybody takes responsibility, goes to the store, gets the 58-minute DVD, and if you can't afford it, email us at publicoutreach@ae911truth.org, and we will mail you the DVD to play on your public access station for free. Just email us publicoutreachteam@ae911truth.org. So finally, the latest action alert in this series is our AE911 Truth action groups. So we're organizing action groups across the country to effect coordinated actions for public and media and congressional education. So if you go to our website and click Take Action and then Action Groups, what you'll see is a way that you can, with just 2 to 12 of your friends, you can form yourself an AE911 Truth Action Group. There's no fee to us. We do ask that you get a meetup site going. I think they have a small monthly fee. And we will have a monthly action group conference call, where we will then, all the facilitators from all of the action groups across the world will meet monthly and coordinate actions. We'll be doing actions such as educating architects and engineers, i.e. emailing them, campaigns to email them, bring them DVDs, local architect engineering offices, putting up billboards like we have done recently in San Luis Obispo. We might, on a particular month, go out on the street and hand out DVDs in front of skyscrapers and brochures that warn people, is your skyscraper safe? And let them know that on 9/11, with just a few small fires, the entire building came down in 6.5 seconds. We may also do other actions like freeway blogging and whatever people come up with. We feel that there's much more media clout when an organized action happens all across the country. We can get attention and they'll report us. So I think that covers our foray of action alerts that we've sent out, and hopefully it clarifies them as well.
It certainly does. Yes, a foray, a veritable flurry of activity coming out from AE911 Truth, and that's very exciting to see. So could you just recap for the listeners the way that people who are out there who are interested in supporting you can help support with these various campaigns?
Yes, well, you can definitely email us if it's relative to the congressional outreach, congressionaloutreachteam@ae911truth.org. And if it's relative to the public access TV, email us at publicoutreachteam@ae911truth.org. And if it's relative to action groups that you want to start and you have a question, email us at actiongroupteam@ae911truth.org. We have about 20 teams. Each of them has an hour-long conference call. So I'm on the phone 20 to 30 hours a week just organizing teams of activities with our 30 to 40 volunteers. And consider volunteering at ae911truth.org, too. We have all kinds of activities, projects, outreaches here from our nonprofit corporation headquarters. And we are a nonprofit, a 501c3, so your donation is tax deductible, and or certainly should be. We encourage you to join the family of sustaining supporters. For as little as $10 a month, you can make a huge difference here. If you believe in what we're doing, support us. We're only supported by the 9/11 Truth community, and I can't keep the organization afloat by myself. So thank you for considering that very important step.
That's right, and I certainly do encourage people to go to ae911truth.org to get more information about all of this, all of these various campaigns. And I understand that you're also affiliated with the Building What campaign?
Yes. The judge said in New York when the NYC CAN, the New York Coalition for Accountability Now, presented their case to him, he said, "Building what?" When we were talking about Building 7. So this is the new campaign, Building What? Building What? So we're trying to get ads up to educate all New Yorkers about Building 7. And so they're going to see Building 7 coming down, and there's a $200,000 campaign to raise for these ads, and I encourage everybody to go to Building What? Google Building What? First of all, and you'll find the campaign there. You can also go to nyccan.org.
Right. Well, obviously, this flurry of activity that is occurring at AE911 Truth right now is welcome it and appreciated at any time, but certainly always doubly appreciated, I guess, during the run up to a 9/11 anniversary, which of course we're in right now, approaching the 9th anniversary of these attacks. Maybe you can speak to the importance of anniversaries, both in people's consciousness and also in helping to raise awareness of the issues surrounding 9/11, and what you think the 9th anniversary might mean for the movement as a whole.
Well, we have the opportunity every September to gain people's attention and media attention. And we do everything that we can relative to that, relative to being successful in that, to educate people, media, congresspeople, congresspersons. And it makes for a very, very busy late August and early September for us. I didn't even mention that there's two conferences going on. We Are Change is having a huge anniversary set of activities, including major street actions on September 9th and 10th. And I'll be speaking at the We Are Change conference. It's 1,000 people in Midtown September 10th. So search for We Are Change New York, and you'll find the activities there. There's just a lot of them. They're educating activists about activism. There's a whole series of educational programs in addition to the activists, in addition to entertaining comedy hour, and they're going to have a prize for the best bullhorn speech, if you will. The winner gets a golden bullhorn. That's kind of interesting. And that person will get to speak, actually, at the conference keynote evening speech on the 10th. So the winner of that contest. Also, though, there's a major conference happening at 56 Walker Street, which is put on by Lenny Charles and several important speakers like Cindy Sheehan, Cynthia McKinney, Ray McGovern, and other technical people, who authors of the nanothermite research paper. Where these chips were found in the World Trade Center dust. Kevin Ryan, Niels Harrit will be there. I'll be speaking at that conference. Also, Eric Lawyer will be speaking at both conferences. He founded Firefighters for 9/11 Truth. In addition, I encourage your listeners to look up in the sky if you're in New York for a surprise. I can't tell you much more than that. And hopefully the media will see fit to report this new phenomena never seen before in the skies above New York.
Very intriguing. Well, I can only speculate that it's an AE 9/11 Truth UFO of some sort, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. Well, very exciting. And as you mentioned there, that of course raising awareness is important generally, but also helping to get media coverage of this type of thing can also greatly increase the amount of awareness of these issues. So certainly any help that listeners out there can give in that respect would also be greatly appreciated. Well, Richard Gage, as you mentioned, this is an extremely busy time of year for you, so I won't keep you much longer, but just wanted to thank you very much for coming on, and thank you also for all of the various activities that you're involved with to help raise awareness of these extremely important issues.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm glad to be here, and I just want to make sure everybody also knows that we did put this San Francisco press conference together, and it's all on a DVD right now. And so here's one DVD with Eric Lawyer of Firefighters for 9/11 Truth, Stephen Jones, David Ray Griffin, and myself, all on one platform, laying down the gauntlet to the media and to Congress. So that DVD is now available and in our store at our website, ae911truth.org. In addition, our new bonus DVD, which we're giving away, is also there. It has the six best TV mainstream interviews that we've done, including CBC, BBC, Fox News, and PBS. It's all there. Very exciting. So be sure to check out our store, ae911truth.org.
Well, then just in closing, do you have any words for anyone out there who might be either maybe newly aware of this type of information or just finding out about it recently and has not yet actually participated in any activism surrounding 9/11 or 9/11 Truth? What words of encouragement or advice would you have for those people?
You're being faced with a set of circumstances with which you're probably not equipped to deal. I wasn't 4 years ago when I first heard David Ray Griffin on the radio. It just hit me like a 2x4. How can this be true? I would have heard about it by now. They never could have gotten away with it. All of these valid questions. You can't let those questions stop you from realizing that the evidence, nevertheless, is true, real, and it has to be dealt with. This evidence for explosive controlled demolition cannot be dismissed simply because somebody doesn't want to believe it or believe the implications of it. So that's what will tend to happen in the human mind, because we're hardwired to believe that our country is the best, our government wouldn't do this to us, and I'm not saying our government did it to you, but that's the tendency. You know, this has a way of turning into a huge conspiracy theory that could never be true. So we just don't even start to think about it, or we stop thinking about it. So those who are new to this information, see the DVD, have the courage to turn it on, look at it, and deal with it. Yeah, you can disagree with it, but until you see it, you have no idea what you're disagreeing with. And your opinions and conclusions are ill-informed and inaccurate. So Courage is what I'm asking of your listeners who are new to this information. Courage to continue reviewing the information and then to face the consequences. And to help you in that process, there's other books that help deal with implications of 9/11 being some sort of an inside operation, and more support for that conclusion as well, in all lots of evidence throughout the other planes that were flown that day, and the hijackers, the put options, the whole ramification, NORAD, all of the stories of 9/11 in which the official story has been proved as a fabrication, fiction. So, courage and perseverance.
Richard Gage, AIA, AE911truth.org, thank you so much for joining us today on the Corbett Report.
Thank you, James.